Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, February 16, 2025, Romans.
All right, before we get started, first of all, Thursday of last week was Danielle's birthday, and Upland Bible Church is so blessed to have Danielle as our piano player. She's the best piano player at least west of the Mississippi, maybe the entire nation. We are very, very blessed to have her as our piano player at Upland Bible Church. Another thing I'd like to bring you up to date on is Randy Frick, our music singer and leader of songs. He's in the hospital again. And pray that God will provide just the right tests and proper understanding of what the problem is and treating it. So pray for Randy and Dodie. And also now you need to be praying for Gary Brown. He is now in charge of singing up here. And well, he got all excited. He says, I'm going to do a solo. So low that nobody can hear him. That's it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Last week, I gave to you an update from one of the excellent missionaries, Mark Musser, who is a missionary to Armenia, Belarus, Romania, and Ukraine. I gave you the update of his ministry in Armenia last week. This morning I want to give you the update of his missionary activity in Belarus. He says, before Rachel traveled home for the holidays, she sent out a Christmas carol invitation to all the international folks in Minsk, in which we have had a ministry connection with over the last few years. Many more people came than we were expecting. We invited folks from Minsk International Fellowship together with others who we have ministered with, connected to the English language Bible clubs. Not all of them are believers who come to these ministries. And there were a number of other folks who we did not know that came as well. We all had a great time singing Christmas carols in English. We also presented the meaning of Christmas and the grace gospel in between the carols. And then had holiday crafts for the kids to do to keep them occupied, not to mention food and treats as well. We were thus greatly encouraged by all those who came. Belarus is so controlled, and we are so limited in what can be done locally in Minsk, that this was something very special for us to remember. Thanks to Sugar Land Bible Church donations in Houston, Texas, we also were able to print 1,000 Grace Gospel calendars. Grace Gospel calendars that were published that gave local folks here the opportunity to evangelize in a quiet way during the holiday season. Outside of private homes and churches, evangelism is expressly forbidden in Belarus. The Grace Gospel calendars went fast. One lady from the church in Mogilev handed out a passel of calendars while on the bus as folks were traveling home from Mogilev to their own village just a few miles out of town. Many people who had received the calendars were very surprised and complimentary. The calendars were of very high quality. The last 50 calendars we had left on hand were then sent specially to Siberia and the Russian Far East, where we have done ministries in the past. The regular ministries in Mogilev are still going forward per usual with my staggered schedule, as I am there at least once a week. The Word of Life Church in Mogilev is still enjoying our fellowship times with them every Sunday, plowing through the Gospel of John during the church services, and then teaching Daniel for 2 hours after lunch break in the afternoons. We also changed our 2-hour Bible study on 2 Thessalonians to Wednesday nights, where we will soon begin discussing the ministry of the Antichrist from the second chapter. While Karen and Rachel are teaching regular women's ministries each Thursday evening and Sunday school at Minsk International Fellowship, when we stay in Minsk, I am continuing to teach there through the Psalms on those Sundays. Karen and Rachel have a very good testimony at the school. They are considered by their peers to be very strong Bible teachers. We have started teaching the life of Christ. One of my favorite courses I love to teach. In addition, Chafer Theological Seminary granted me a special dispensation to teach the life of Christ to 2 of their students that we are planning to culminate with a week-long visit to Galilee in late April and early May. Please pray for us on this special Life of Christ course. Also, please pray for logistics in terms of being able to fulfill them because of the present difficulties going on in Israel these days. Mark Musser, excellent missionary, communicator of grace, grace gospel, grace spirituality, grace and truth of the Word of God. He's doing the job the right way. All right. Romans chapter 8. Let's start the corrected translation, starting with Romans 8, verse 5. For those believers who live according to the sin nature, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature. That is what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, God and His Word. Verse 6. So then, the mindset controlled by the sin nature is death, carnal death, and if you stay out of fellowship long enough in Satan's cosmic system, resulting in the sin unto death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit is life, the spiritual life, resulting in peace, eirene, great, great blessings. Verse 7. Because the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God. For it absolutely does not subordinate itself. And that's our Greek word hupotasso, a military term to be subordinate to authority. For it absolutely does not subordinate itself to the authority of the law of God. That is, it absolutely does not subordinate itself to the authority of God and the Word of God, because it is not even able to do so. Well, at that point, we started a study on principles of authority in the Word of God. Principles of authority. And first of all, we noted the role of human volition in accepting authority. And God has given us all a volition. In the creation of man and our soul, one of the great assets of our soul is a volition, a free will. And response to authority is a function of your human volition. The acceptability of authority in this life is dependent upon your free will. You're free to accept authority, and you're free to reject authority. Human freedom provides the option of accepting or rejecting authority in life, both legitimate authority and illegitimate authority. While God has delegated legitimate authority in life, these authorities are useless if human volition does not accept them. All legitimate authority in life is delegated by God through two categories of truth: laws of divine establishment, which is truth for both believers and unbelievers alike, and the content of the Word of God, which is truth for believers. All illegitimate authority in life is based upon the function of man's arrogance. Arrogance being out of fellowship with God, arrogance from living in Satan's cosmic system. The old sin nature is illegitimate authority. Satan and his cosmic system are illegitimate authority. Arrogance results from the rejection of legitimate authority in life. Rejection of the authority of God, rejection of the authority of the Word of God, Rejection of the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. Rejection of legitimate authority causes people to degenerate, either morally, moral degeneration, great self-righteousness, or immoral degeneration. For example, the wife who rejects the authority of her husband, or children who make the bad decision to reject the authority of their parents. Unlike God, or rather, while God has delegated authority in life to such legitimate categories as government and husbands and parents and teachers and coaches and public officials and judges and management, this authority is useless apart from human consent. Now, it is true, you can be bullied into accepting authority, but it does no good in the long run. What makes authority work is human consent, where rational human beings understand the importance of the principle of authority, regardless of whether they like the personality or not. Therefore, legitimate authority is only effective where human volition responds to it under the principle of freedom. When we choose for legitimate authority, we are blessed, both individually and collectively. However, when people through arrogance choose for the lust patterns of the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, they make bad decisions from a position of weakness, which have both personal and national repercussions. Every person is a product of their own decisions. Good decisions from a position of strength accept authority and develop great capacity for life. However, bad decisions from a position of weakness rejects authority and fulfills those passages dealing in the Word of God with the law of volitional responsibility. And what is that law? You reap what you sow. And we see that in Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." That's the law of volitional responsibility. This is also taught over in Colossians 3:25. Turn over to Colossians 3:25. Colossians 3, verse 25. "For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality." The law of volitional responsibility: you reap what you sow. Believers who gravitate to a life of fulfillment of the lust patterns of the sin nature and arrogance have used their own free will to ruin their own lives. Young people who resist the authority of their parents have developed a habit which will eventually destroy their lives. And then we studied the principle of authority orientation. Authority orientation. When the believer has positive volition and humility, he will live the spiritual life and advance to spiritual maturity. He will glorify God to the maximum, and that's why we're here. We're only here a short time, but we're here. While we're here, we're here to glorify God. The believer cannot maintain and continue his spiritual momentum and spiritual growth unless he maintains and continues the basis of doing so, and that is authority orientation. Consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God is based on the principle of authority orientation. Consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God is the only way you can continue your spiritual advance and fulfill the objective of the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Authority orientation is life orientation. Authority orientation is honor and virtue, humility, genuine humility. Now we start this morning with the principle of spiritual authority. The principle of spiritual authority. One, spiritual authority resides, there's going to be four areas. Spiritual authority resides in, first of all, the Word of God. The Word of God. And by the way, the Word of God is also called the mind of Christ. It's called the voice of the Spirit. So spiritual authority resides in the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit, the Scriptures. Secondly, spiritual authority resides in its communicator, the pastor. Today, the pastor. In the age of Israel, the prophets. In the first part of the church age, it was the apostles and the prophets. In the post-canon period of the church age, it's the pastor-teacher. So, first of all, the Word of God. Secondly, the pastor. Third, deacons. As well, deacons to whom the pastor delegates authority, deacons, and then fourth, the believer with the spiritual gift of evangelism also has spiritual authority. So spiritual authority resides in the Word of God, the communicator of the Word of God, as well as the deacons to whom the pastor delegates authority, and the believer with the gift of evangelism. Two, divine authority is stated in the context of the God-breathed Scriptures. Divine authority is stated in the context of the God-breathed Scriptures. God is the one who has delegated authority to the pastor of the local church. God is the one who delegates authority to the evangelist, who gives the grace gospel to unbelievers. Delegated authority is also given to those believers with administrative gifts in the local church. Three, the pastor's authority is limited to his own sheep. Now, the gift of apostleship in the pre-canon period of the church age, that gift of apostleship had authority over all local churches, and all believers. And we had apostles in the pre-canon period of the church age, but once the Word of God was, the New Testament Scriptures were completed, there has not been the gift of apostleship since that time. The last one was John, when he completed Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. There have been no apostles since. There are no apostles today. In the pre-canon period of the church age, there was. They had authority over all local churches. But a pastor has authority over one church, his sheep, and that's it. Now, his sheep may be face-to-face sheep and or non-face-to-face sheep. There's a lot of places in America where there are not any sound Bible teaching. And so that we have people that are, they're my sheep. They're the Lord's sheep, but I'm his under shepherd, and I'm their pastor. They have no no sound Bible teaching in their area, their geographical area. And so they are getting, they're under the authority of this local church. They're part of this local church, but they are non-face-to-face. So there's one local, pastor only has authority over one local church. That includes those who assemble face-to-face for the teaching of the Word of God and the non-face-to-face. And we got people not only throughout America, but throughout the world. We get emails from pastors in Africa almost after every class saying, "Whoa, I really love this. This is fantastic." And then they take that and teaching the people in Africa. So it's going out all over the world. So the pastor teacher's authority is limited to his own sheep, face-to-face and non-face-to-face. Four, God has provided an umbrella of spiritual authority over the mechanics of grace perspicacity. That's a very important phrase that you need to know and have down. God is using grace perspicacity in the communication of His Word. So God has provided an umbrella of spiritual authority over the mechanics of grace perspicacity. And what is involved in grace perspicacity? First of all, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled, empowered by the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit must empower the believer for the perception of the Word of God. When you assemble here, we take a few moments in silent prayer. That gives you the opportunity to examine your soul, make sure you're in fellowship with God, make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, during that time of silent prayer, use God's problem-solving device of rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now you are in fellowship with God and you are filled with the Spirit. Now you're empowered by God the Holy Spirit. That's very important in grace perspicacity. So when you assemble, make sure you're filled with the Spirit, empowered by God the Holy Spirit. That's the first critical part of grace perspicacity. Secondly, is the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. When the Word of God is taught here, there's two communicators, God the Holy Spirit and the gift of pastor teacher. The spiritual gift of pastor teacher has been given by God in order for you to be fed the absolute truth of the Word of God. And as it's taught from here, God the Holy Spirit takes that teaching from the pulpit and then says, "This is true, this is true, this is true, this is true, this is true." And so it works together. The communication gift of pastor-teacher right along with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So grace perspicacity includes the filling of the Spirit. You must be in fellowship with God, empowered by the Spirit. The teaching ministry of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the gift of pastor-teacher. When the pastor is teaching the Word of God, this demands authority orientation on the part of the congregation in the form of academic discipline. This academic discipline includes no talking, no unnecessary movement, or anything that would break the concentration of others here who have come here to learn the Word of God. The Royal Family Honor Code recognizes good manners, thoughtfulness of others, and respect for the teaching of the Word of God. Point five. Inevitably, the issue is learning and believing that God breathed Scriptures. Inevitably, the issue is learning and believing the God-breathed scriptures. And therefore, let's amplify that. One, this issue demands communication of the Word of God from the pastor and perception of the Word of God by the congregation, believers. This issue demands communication of the Word of God from the pastor and perception of the Word of God by the congregation, believers. Two, however, this is very important, however, the pastor cannot communicate what he does not know. The pastor cannot communicate what he does not know. And therefore, the pastor's life. What is the life of the pastor? He must be devoted to studying and teaching. Studying and teaching. Studying and teaching. Studying the Word of God. So when he stands up, he's communicating the God-breathed scriptures. What God wants you to know and learn and understand. So pastor's life must be devoted to studying and teaching the Word of God. Three, what he teaches should be the result of many agonizing hours of study under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. What he teaches should be the result of many agonizing hours of study under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And what is that ministry of God the Holy Spirit? His teaching, illuminating, and recalling ministry. And I'm here every day back in my office. And I begin my study praying and asking for the teaching, illuminating, and recalling ministry of God the Holy Spirit to guide me into the absolute truth of the Word of God so that I can learn it and believe it and then teach it effectively to y'all so you can learn it and believe it. So what he teaches should be the result of many agonizing hours of study under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The teaching, illuminating, recalling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, you are required to respect and listen to the teaching. At which point, you choose whether to believe it or not to believe it. You have a free will. I'm here simply to teach you what the Word of God says. You have a free will. You have a volition. You're free to believe it. You're free to reject it. And I'm not here to make you believe it. I'm here to tell you this is what God's Word says. Now you have a free will. You're the product of your own decisions. You're free to believe it. You're free to reject it. Four. This means the pastor's personality is not the issue in authority orientation. And by the way, and I have such a wonderful personality. Now, the best personality is my wife. She has the best personality, but she does not have the gift of pastor-teacher. Now, I have a wonderful personality. So this means the pastor's personality is not the issue in authority orientation. What is the issue is the function of the Royal Family Honor Code. God wants you to operate and live your life according to the Royal Family Honor Code. Now, this might come as a shock to some of you. Every pastor has a sin nature. Oh, no way. Yes, way. Every pastor has a sin nature. Just like, now here's another point. Every one of you, all of you out there, you have a sin nature. Does a pastor ever sin? Oh, once every 20 years or so. I'm glad you laughed, yeah. What does the pastor do when he sins? Same thing you do. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And the faithful pastor, he knows when he sins, and he right away, boom, he gets right back into fellowship with God. No big deal. I mean, sinning's a big deal, but it's no big deal. You know you sin, you rebound, you're back in fellowship with God, get up and move on. Let's get going. So, never permit preoccupation with the pastor's feet of clay. Every pastor has a feet of clay. Or his personality to hinder your perception of the Word of God. You're learning the Word of God. 5. The pastor is responsible to the Lord and not to the congregation. I am the Lord's servant. I am His servant. I am His slave. And I wouldn't have it any other way. That is the best position to ever be in. I am so thankful that I am the Lord's servant and I am responsible to Him. The Lord asked Peter, Peter, do you love me, Peter? In fact, he asked him 3 times. Peter says, yes. Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. And every day, and I'm back here in prayer, I start out my study with prayer. And I tell the Father, I go through that. I said, the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Father, I love you. I love Jesus Christ. I love God the Holy Spirit. If you, in your infinite and matchless grace, if you could give me the health and the strength to keep studying and teaching your word, I would be forever grateful. And I pray that prayer every single day in my office. The pastor is responsible to the Lord, not to the congregation. And therefore, what happens when the pastor gets out of line? Well, the pastor gets double discipline. Double. You get just regular discipline. The pastor gets double discipline. He realizes real quick when he's out of line. You don't have to worry about, well, I better help him know that he's out of line. You don't need to do that. But here's another principle. 6. It is inevitable that certain members of the congregation will become dissatisfied with their pastor. That's inevitable. Happens in every local church, to every pastor. The greatest pastors we've had in this country. It happened in Baraka with Colonel Thame. It happened at Bethany, Pastor Breckel. It's happened in Upland Bible Church, Pastor Olson. It's inevitable that certain members of the congregation will become dissatisfied with their pastor. Therefore, they will take the matter in their own hands. And they will discredit him, judge him, malign him, slander him. And therefore, there is a passage in Isaiah 54:17. You might want to turn over there. I even have this verse in my office. So that when people come in, And I realize where they're at and where they're going. I just have them see that verse right up there. Isaiah 54:17. This is a warning not to tamper with God's communicators. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon which is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and his vindication is from me, decrees the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. Very important for you to know that. And you know who gave me, who made this clear to me? Pastor Breckel at Bethany Bible Church. He set me down and he said, Dick, you're going to go to Dallas Seminary and prepare for the ministry, and God's going to give you a flock of his sheep. And in your studying and teaching the Word of God, inevitably, he says, I've had them come here, and these people come to me. He said, they'll come to you. They've done the same thing with the colonel. But you need to have this verse. And it was Pastor Breckel that gave me this. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon which is formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and his vindication is from me, decrees the Lord. Now, there's one more part of this point five, and that is the job profile of the pastor. Now, it's given throughout the scriptures, the job profile of the pastor. But we're going to take a break and give you a little time to go out there. And there are some humdinger of treats out there. So we'll take a break, come back in a few minutes with part two.